Okay. Welcome to the Judiciary Committee of the State Senate. Today's Thursday, March the 10th, 2005. It's now about 8:40. And in the morning, we have Senator Guest with us this morning. Senator Huggins, Senator French, Senator Terrio is out of town and excused. We have several items that we intend to at least get through the introduction on today. And the first one we're going to look at is Senate Bill 118, and Senator French is the sponsor of that bill. And how would you like to handle this morning, Senator French?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will, if you'd like, make a brief opening statement and turn to a couple of witnesses, I think, that are going to talk about the bill.
Okay.
I appreciate you making time. I know there are many pressing matters on your calendar that are always competing for your time, so I appreciate getting some time here in the committee this morning.
Our time, Senator French.
Well, fair enough. Our time. I'll take that. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Senate Bill 118 will make online enticement of minors a felony under Alaska law. Along with SB 119, the measure will help protect Alaska's children from sexual predators and provide a safety net for them as they navigate the Internet. Alaska has the distinction of being the most wired state because it has the highest number of computers and Internet connections per capita in the U.S. Regrettably, Alaska also ranks among the highest in its rate of sexual abuse of children, and unfortunately, many of these cases begin through contacts made via Internet chat rooms. Online victimization, which includes sexual enticement, solicitation, unwanted exposure to sexual material, and harassment, is one of the worst byproducts of the age of the Internet. Research by the University of New Hampshire found that 1 in 5 children between the ages of 10 and 17 received a sexual solicitation over the Internet in the last year. 1 in 33 received an aggressive solicitation, a solicitor who asked to meet them somewhere, called them on the telephone, or sent them regular mail, money, or gifts. While current statutes can be stretched to allow prosecution of online solicitation, the better approach is to recognize that this new form of criminality requires a new statute. Please join me in supporting SB 118 and taking another step in making Alaska a safer place for children. If I can just continue, Mr. Chairman, the basic outline of the bill is to make it a crime for a person who is 18 years of age or older to knowingly use a computer to communicate with another person to entice, solicit, or encourage the person to engage in an act described in AS 1141-455. Those acts are outlined in another statute, and they're what you might expect, Mr. Chairman. It's sexual penetration, lewd touching, masturbation, lewd exhibition of genitals, and so forth. Those would all be, it would be a crime to ask or entice a child to engage in one of those acts with the person over 18. There are two, it's a crime to either ask a child to do that, someone under 16, or someone who you believe is a child. And the reason that we Detective Vandegrift will talk about why that's so important in a little bit, but I think while you're listening to his testimony, you should keep in mind that Alaska attempt law has long defined a crime in just that same way. That is, it may seem a little bit unusual to make it a crime to entice someone who's actually an adult to having sex, but if you listen to how the attempt statute is defined, it'll, I think, explain. Attempt is, if with intent to commit a crime, the person engages in conduct which constitutes a substantial step toward the commission of the crime. And the substantial step is something that you argue about quite a bit in court. Nevertheless, in a prosecution under an attempt charge, it is not an offense that it was factually or legally impossible to commit the crime which was the object of the intent if the conduct engaged in by the defendant would be a crime had the circumstances been as the defendant believed them to be. So attempt is, in essence, a focus on the mind of the defendant. And if the defendant truly believes he's making an attempt to murder someone, rob a bank, hijack a jet, then it's a legally sufficient factual setting to convict that person of attempt. And so in much the same way, this statute says it's a crime to either solicit someone who's under 16 or someone who you believe is under 16, because ultimately, legally, what's the difference? It's the mind of the offender that's at stake. So that's those are my prepared remarks, and I'd be happy to answer questions, or we can turn to the witnesses however the committee wishes to proceed.
Questions at this time for Senator French? Seeing none, go ahead and proceed with your witnesses, Senator.
Thank you. Detective Kevin Vandegrift, are you online this morning?
Yes, I am.
Why don't you go ahead and put yourself on the record, tell us a bit about your background, and tell us your position on this bill.
Certainly. My name is Kevin Vandegrift. I've been a member of the Anchorage Police Department for the last 8.5 years. Prior to that, I was an officer in the United States Air Force. I retired in 97. For the last 2.5, going on 3 years, I've been working in the Anchorage Police Department's Crimes Against Children Unit, where our investigations center primarily on the sexual abuse of children. I think the online enticement bill is significant. As Senator French has already mentioned, we don't currently have any legislation that directly addresses these types of crimes. We know that it's a growing problem. The study that Senator French quoted was actually a study done in the year 2000. So statistically, we know that the crimes against children across the nation are growing every year. For example, we know from statistics gathered by the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Forces, their federal task forces, that the reports of child pornography have grown 40% in the time between 2003 and 2004. And so we don't have statistics available that specifically address the number of children that are actively solicited by adults online for sex. We can only assume that since 2000, when that study was completed, that they've grown a great deal. Law enforcement across the state is excited about this bill, namely because this allows law enforcement to work in a proactive role. So much of what we do, in fact, most of what we do is reactive. We have a parent, guardian, a friend report that a child's been victimized, and we pick up and investigate the case from that point. With this new law, we'll be able to proactively seek out child predators that use the Internet to target children. We know that across the nation, federal statistics show that about 55% of the prosecutions for online victimization of children occur from reports from family members, schools, outside complaints. We know that 45% of the arrests are directly related to proactive law enforcement efforts. Those proactive efforts essentially include law enforcement going online in an undercover capacity and meeting with and chatting with these child predators that are online. There has been some concerns mentioned about entrapment. I don't think that we're going to see entrapment issues here in Alaska. The Alaskan investigators that investigate these types of crimes are trained by the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Forces. They're federal task forces. So we're receiving the same training in classrooms across the country as investigators from the FBI, investigators from Immigration and Customs, as well as other local and state law enforcement agencies across the nation. I recently attended training in Seattle. We had law enforcement from the East Coast, the West Coast, and everywhere in between in that class. And the purpose of that standardized training is so that we conduct investigations that will pass judicial scrutiny across jurisdictional boundaries, because many times with the use of the Internet, we're crossing state lines. Additionally, it's important to note that in addition to the great training that's being received by the investigators doing these investigations, we've seen that online enticement prosecutions across the country have resulted in a 95% conviction rate. I think that says a lot about the quality of the investigations that are going on, and they're passing judicial scrutiny. And particularly, the reason that they're so successful is because we have an abundance of evidence with the investigations we do online, because of the online trail that these predators leave. Anytime they talk to children online, they're talking through a network of computers across the nation, servers across the country, and we can backtrack and follow that trail and then show that in court, and it's difficult for a defendant to dispute. The other reason this law is particularly important is we know from these convictions across the country that search warrants conducted on the suspect's home after they've been arrested for an online enticement, when we take their computer, over 60% of these folks have large collections of child pornography. And so they're perpetrating crimes against children by their collection of these images. I think that sexual predators are using the internet at an ever-increasing rate to target children, and children are particularly vulnerable for a number of reasons. One, the children that are seem to be the age of these sexual predators' preference, 12 through 15, are at a point in their life, and they're going through the teenage years where they're seeking knowledge on their sexuality, and they don't have a lot of avenues to explore that, and they find the internet particularly attractive because they feel anonymous and they can go out and look for things, look for information, and make themselves smarter. But by doing that, they become particularly vulnerable to these predators, and this law will help us curb that here in Alaska. I had hoped to be able to bring a chat today to read a few excerpts to you. I wasn't able to do that, but I just want to say that from some of the chats that I've read between these internet predators and children, they're particularly chilling at the types of psychological tactics that these people are using to entice and to engage vulnerable children, particularly children that might have not a perfect household, perhaps a single parent, with a lot of time on their hands, and emotionally they're very vulnerable to psychological tactics that these folks are using, and they're very successful at them. So in conclusion, I would just like to thank you for your attention, the committee members, for listening to this testimony. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions for the detective? Hey, Detective, this is Senator Seekins. I have a couple of questions, if I could. In his opening remarks, the Senator French has said that Alaska is particularly high in child sexual abuse. Can you give us some kind of, do you have any kind of comparative numbers on that?
I don't have any numbers available with me today, no sir, but certainly we could get those for you.
Anecdotally, without particularly revealing any confidences, what kind of, are we seeing a lot of, I mean, where does the sexual abuse come from in the cases that you're familiar with? Are they in family? Are they outside predators? What are we seeing?
Well, we're seeing across the entire spectrum. Probably the majority are known to the family member, acquaintances, child care providers, family members. That seems to be the majority as far as sexual abuse in the minor cases that are typical, not using the internet.
But the internet side is rising?
Yes, sir, it is rising. And right now, we only have federal statutes that address it. So the feds are pretty limited in the number of cases that they can prosecute. In fact, they're getting overwhelmed. And as the problem with what's going on here is that we know that it's a growing problem, but because of children's propensity to not report these types of things to adults, we know that the problem is larger than what we probably perceive, because from the study that we've seen where researchers have gone out and talked to children who've been actively solicited online, we know that only 1 in 10 told their parents, and a smaller percentage actually notified law enforcement. So the ability to proactively go after these sexual predators, I think, is pretty compelling.
So what would you anticipate we would see under state law in prosecution, saying the federal government is getting overwhelmed? Where would we be? What possible increase in workload would we have? Not that the increase in workload would be a deterrent, just so that we could have some kind of an idea.
I think it would increase the workload a great deal. In fact, we probably don't have the manpower in law enforcement to successfully address this problem. The best way to decrease this problem is through education, and education of parents as far as allowing use of the internet. But I don't think law enforcement or the criminal justice system has the adequate resources to address this in the quantities of numbers that we're seeing. I'll just address that briefly with, I just went through some training, Internet Crimes Against Children task force training down in Seattle. And it was conducted by instructors from across the nation. And as part of that training, we actually assumed the identity of a 13-year-old female child, and we went online in chat rooms, particularly Yahoo chat rooms. I spent my time in what's called a regional chat room, which was an Alaskan chat room. It only took probably 10 minutes before I was solicited for sex by unwanted solicitation of sex. All I did was go in the chat room and sit there, not say anything to anybody. I didn't say anything to anybody and was approached by males. One was particularly chilling was I spoke with a ship captain who at the time was piloting his cargo container ship in the Black Sea. I was a little suspicious of that and questioned him about it, and he told me he had satellite hookup with a wireless laptop. I asked him further what the title of his ship was or what the name of his ship was, and I did a Google search on it and found it actually was a container ship. What was so chilling was he wanted to have sex with me, and he told me he would be in Anchorage this summer. Keep in mind, this was a controlled training scenario where I had only been online for less than an hour when this occurred. I was targeted by no less than a half dozen different adult males during that one online session. So the problem itself is pretty large. It's just that we're not exposed to it because most adults don't spend much time in chat rooms, but our children do.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been in one. I spent a lot of time on a computer, but I've never been in a chat room.
I haven't been in a chat room either, Senator, until that training class.
Other questions? Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Detective Vandegrift, thank you for the mission you've taken on. And quite frankly, I applaud Senator French in his efforts here. My question for you, though, is that let's assume that this bill goes into effect. Do you have any concerns about being able to get evidence into court based on this bill, no matter how far reaching it might be?
No, Senator, I don't perceive any problems. The evidentiary trail that these predators leave is pretty compelling, and the training we receive in how to collect that evidence is pretty extensive. These investigations are completely recorded. Throughout the investigations recorded with software, and we have some strict protocols that we have to follow in order to do these types of investigations. So I perceive that our prosecutions will probably be as successful as the national average of the 95 percentile.
One further question. I, over time, have read a number of articles in their local newspaper that essentially accounted for state employees and other kinds of people that are on the internet, child pornography. In pursuit of those people, was it for the most part done under federal statutes because we didn't have such a statute as 118?
Well, we do have state child pornography laws, and we have made a number of successful prosecutions with the existing laws as far as pornography itself and the possession of child pornography. What we don't have is what's addressed in Senate Bill 119, which is any way to prosecute those offenders, sexual predators that send unsolicited sexual pictures to children.
Thank you very much, Detective Vandegrift.
Thank you, Senator.
Other questions? Next witness, Mr. Senator French. You got another one?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Detective. We appreciate your help here today. It's very, very helpful and good testimony.
That's it, Mr.
Okay, Chairman. Let's take about a 3-minute recess if we can, please. Back on the record, Ms. Carpenter, could we ask you to come up to aid the committee?
Last weekend.
You're a little sore?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Annie Carpinetti, and I represent the Criminal Division of the Department of Law.
Ms. Carpinetti, we're trying to look at the fiscal notes of the bill, and the testimony that we've received so far says there will be more of this business than we can handle. However, the fiscal notes indicate they're all zero fiscal notes and indicate that, say, the Department of Law does not anticipate many cases will be prosecuted as a result of passing this legislation and estimate no fiscal impact as a result. And I'm just questioning that, not trying to slow down this bill. We all think it's a righteous bill. We just want to make sure that we do this within proper procedure. Could you maybe help us out a little bit?
I'll try to. And we do support the concept of vigorous prosecution of this behavior. I mean, it is shocking, and it's something that that our society needs to address. So we thank you for introducing the bill. The concern we have, and it's reflected in the fiscal note, is that the conduct prohibited in this bill is also prohibited in other portions of the criminal code that are already in effect. And that is why we don't anticipate more cases, because it's already, most of the behavior is already against the law under our sexual abuse of a minor laws. And the overlap that concerns us the most is the one for Sam, sexual assault of a minor in the first degree, which prohibits enticing or encouraging sexual penetration with a minor, and which this bill does too. For the main offense, for sexual abuse of a minor in the first degree, that anticipates that the actual penetration occurred, but and that's an unclassified felony. Solicitation for that behavior is a Class A felony, and that is the same conduct that's covered under this provision. And this is a Class C felony, unless the person is a person who's a sex offender who already has to register, which would be a B felony. So that kind of undercuts what our law provides for this behavior in those for those instances, and that we consider a problem, because the defendant will say, "No, I want to be prosecuted under this rather than solicitation to sexual abuse of the minor in the first degree, because it's a C felony. I'd much rather choose that than a Class A felony." That's our problem, and that doesn't cover the whole bill, because sexual assault of a minor does not prohibit the behavior when somebody believes the person is under 16, but that person is not in fact 16. So there's some overlap that we would like to help work with, so we don't get undercut when we prosecute a SAM 1, a solicitation for sexual assault and abuse of a minor in the first degree, because this would make it a lesser crime. And that's our concern with this bill.
I don't think that's the intent of the sponsor at all.
I'm sure it is not, but
I shouldn't speak for you, Senator.
If you say something I disagree with, I'll jump in.
I know it's not the sponsor's intent. The sponsor's intent is to get to address the grooming that proceeds from computer victimization, but it does in fact cover conduct that already is against the law, and in some cases is more serious in terms of a penalty.
So from the Department of Law standpoint, if you were to amend this bill to make it consistent with what your current law is, but just to call attention to it in the statute, how would you do that?
That's a tough question, and I haven't come up with a solution yet, but I would be happy to work on it with the sponsor. It's really difficult, and I understand why it is this way, because it's hard to pull this out of sexual abuse of a minor, and I'm sorry I don't have a solution for you this morning, but I will work on it.
Would be with the permission of the sponsor. I'm sure he would like to work with you on it as well.
I would, and I guess I'd just ask, while we're here thinking out loud, have we prosecuted online predation under the attempt portion of SAM 1, or the solicitation portion of SAM 1?
I believe we have, through the chair. I was speaking to one of our prosecutors who has done sex prosecution for years in Anchorage, and she said that she would worry about this, and so I believe she has.
And for the benefit of those who are watching, SAM is sexual abuse of a minor.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a shorthand for sexual abuse of a minor, and there are several degrees in our statutes, as opposed to sexual assault, sexual abuse of a minor.
And what is the difference between sexual assault and sexual abuse of a minor, then?
Sexual assault, it covers generally non-consensual sexual assault. Sexual abuse of a minor is often, it's perceived as consensual because the victim is too young to...
Consensual or not, it's still illegal.
Okay. As a child under...
Just for the benefit of those who may be watching the progress of the bill. I suppose then what we could do would be to make sure that this bill is strengthened and doesn't weaken anything. Maybe we'll just ask you to work with the sponsor and come back with... We'll work it right back into our schedule. We don't want to hold it up, and it should be very quick if we can get that handled. So with that, we'll ask you if you can work with the sponsor to come up with what you believe could be a righteous amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Justin, thanks, Mr. Chairman.
With that in mind, let's take just a... We're going to hold this bill over, and we'll take just a two-minute recess. I've got a frog in my throat I got to try to get rid of. All right, let's go back online. We'll return next to Senate Bill 119 now. And this also is sponsored by Senator Hollis French. Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. SB 119 is much like the bill we just took up before. SB 119 would make electronic distribution of indecent materials, i.e. pornography, to minors a felony under Alaska law. The bill, along with SB 118, will help provide a safety net to help protect Alaska's children from sexual predators. Online victimization, which includes sexual enticement, solicitation, unwanted exposure to sexual material, and harassment, is one of the worst byproducts of the age of the Internet. As I noted before, Alaska is a very wired state. There's lots of computers and kids on computers in the state. We continue to rank among the highest in our rate of sexual abuse of children, and unfortunately many of these cases begin through contacts made via Internet chat rooms. A key element in many of these seductions is breaking down a child's sense of what is normal or right by exposing the child to pornographic images. SB 119 will give the Alaska law enforcement community a new tool to help fight this type of child victimization.
As you may have already noted, since this is Senator French's bill and he's on the committee, I've departed from our normal procedure and I allow Senator French to call the witnesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Online today with us today is Detective Sergeant Dave Parker. Sergeant Parker, are you there?
I am here.
If you would put yourself on the record, tell us a little bit about your background and describe your feelings about this bill, that'd be useful for the committee.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Detective Sergeant Dave Parker. I am the supervising sergeant of the Crimes Against Children Unit. I've been doing crimes against children as a practitioner detective and then working in the area of sexual assault and sexual abuse for the past 6 years. I am also certified as an Alaska Police Council's Standards Council, instructor in the area of child sexual abuse and forensic and children. One of the major concerns that we have in this area in addressing this particular bill is the fact that the Internet has become a candy store for perpetrators. They don't necessarily hang out in places where kids congregate anymore like they used to, skating rinks and malls and things like that. They can become much more efficient at finding victims online. It offers them anonymity. It offers them a huge population of victims to pick from, ease of evaluation of people as potential victims. They can find victims that fit their particular preference. They can find victims in situations which make it easier for them to become perpetrators with that particular victim. They can determine the availability of the victim. One of the ways, the major ways that they do that, is by using pornography and the desensitizing of victims by the utilization of pornography. I've worked cases myself in which young people have been sent pornography and then encouraged to role play and to send pornography, create and send pornography of their own out by these perpetrators. I think this is a very, very important issue and the one that the law does not particularly address at this time. It's becoming a huge problem for us and we'd like to see the law with some teeth in it that we could apply to situations where folks are using kids as sex objects and approaching them online and distributing and encouraging them to create pornography. Do you have any questions that I might answer?
Any questions? No, sir. Senator French?
Thank you, Detective Parker. Detective Vandegrift, are you online as well?
Yes, Senator, I am.
If you have a statement you'd like to make about SB 119, we'd be happy to hear it.
Okay, sir. Yes, I'd just like to reemphasize that it is a grooming tactic that the sexual predators use online. I can tell you right now, we don't have a law that we can use to prosecute these offenders, and I have cases with concerned parents calling me. I'm sitting on my desk right now where a child was received unsolicited photographs of an adult male's penis via email. I can refer back to the training I received in February and just share with you briefly, because it amazed me at how quickly these predators would send me pictures, digital pictures of their penis, or they would use webcams to actually masturbate for us. So as they use pornography to try and desensitize the child, they also encourage the child with webcams to touch themselves in front of them for their own enjoyment. And currently, this goes on in Alaska at an alarming rate, and we don't have any way to charge these folks with this particular crime at this time.
Thank you, Detective.
Any questions for the detective? Seeing none, we appreciate both you gentlemen being online with us this morning. Ms. Carpelletti, do you have any concerns or comments that would be helpful to us in the consideration of this bill?
Just one, and I apologize for being...
You could probably stay right there if you wanted to, Ms.
I apologize for, you know, this is a good bill. We support it. The only concern we have about it is this. It only prohibits providing pornographic material to young people on the internet. And right now it's not illegal to provide this material in print form in our state or in other form in our state. And so I just wanted to ask, make sure you had a rational basis for distinguishing this type of pornography from other types of pornography, that the provision is not a crime right now.
Yeah, and I think it's a legitimate concern, and I think the rational basis, or the basis I would urge a court to examine someday down the line on a challenge, would be the highly private nature of a home computer, and the fact that this is now delivered straight into the child's lap, if you will, and aimed specifically at that child as a recipient, rather than an image that's broadcast, without any differentiation, an adult magazine at an airport a bookstore, or a TV show that HBO broadcasts nationwide that a child comes upon perhaps unwittingly. But these images, I think, are different in that they are specifically aimed at a child recipient and delivered to that child in a private and home setting, which I think is different than the other images that may strike a child in another way. And so I think for that reason, you could differentiate between pornography at large versus pornography delivered specifically to a child.
Go ahead, Senator French. Senator, yeah, guess.
I guess a question to Senator French then. What about, or to any, what about material that is given specifically to a child for versus general broadcast? Is that covered under the law now?
I don't think it's against the law to give pornographic material to a child.
Okay.
In our criminal law right now.
Okay, so not broad, but specific.
And I think it's a subject worthy of investigation, and I've thought about trying to craft a bill to aim at that more specific grooming techniques that take place in a private setting, but I haven't been able to come up with an answer yet. And I think this bill nevertheless does aim at something that the detectives have seen over and over, which is, you know, using a common tool, the internet, to aim pornographic images at kids. And so I think it's Amy's concern is that it's has a rational basis. I think there is one. And your concern is that this doesn't cover enough, and I agree with you. And I'd be happy to try to write a bill that that did something like that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Carpinetti, the other day after reviewing this bill and some others that Senator French has put forward, which, you know, I applaud, I was talking to a couple people over a cup of coffee, and one of them says, well, you know, with the way some of our liberal judges interpret the privacy provision in the home, that it might fall under that envelope. Do you have any concerns about that?
Through the chair, I don't have concerns about the privacy provision because we're talking about victims' privacy. I assume that's what you mean, not
right.
The privacy of the perpetrator.
Right.
And
well, either or, to be quite frank.
I think that courts have interpreted pornographic material as something that's not necessarily protected by the privacy provision. But I'd be happy to find some research. I haven't done any research on that issue, but I would be happy to do so.
I would be interested. Just, I mean, I quite frankly, every once in a while, unfortunately, all too often, sort of majorly surprised by some of the interpretations we get out of statutes around our country.
I don't think there's been a challenge to our creating porn, porn with children in it, or distributing it, and those are crimes in our state. And
right.
Those, I don't believe there have been privacy challenges that have been upheld. So I don't think it's a concern in this case, but I will be glad to look at it and see if there have been any privacy issues that have been upheld by judges.
Thank you.
And in that regard, I guess it gives rise to a question in my own mind. Does a minor have the right to privacy to be able to obtain material that we may find objectionable?
Well, that's a good question. I think that society adopts laws limiting a child's rights in terms of sexual behavior in a lot of different ways, and this is another one that I think would probably be upheld.
And I would hope so. I'm just wondering if there's anything there. At what age does a person obtain the right to privacy to objectionable material, or as we would call it here, indecent material, or material that would depict an act described in the statute? At what age can they legally obtain that? Through in the privacy of their own home, or is it their home, or is it their parents' home, or is there some restriction that a parent can have or release? Not trying to be difficult, it's just a question I have. Senator French?
I'll give you an illustration, and it comes from a case I prosecuted, and it's one of those areas where we draw a lot of lines, and sometimes they come out a bit oddly. The age of consent in Alaska is 16. A 16-year-old girl can have sex with almost anybody he or she wants to have. And I had a case in which a middle-aged offender, abuser, was accused of many crimes, and one of them was having taken videotapes of himself and his 17-year-old girlfriend having sex. And I got into court, and the defense attorney wanted those charges thrown out because he said, and he was right, the sex is legal, but the videotaping was not. How can that be? How can it be that you can take a picture of a legal act, and the picture is against the law, but the act is perfectly legal? And we responded that, and it was kind of an oddity, but we responded in this way, and I think it made sense. A sex act is a private act. Most of us think of it that way. And a picture of that act can go around the internet for the next 100 years and continue to embarrass and damage that person's privacy, the child's privacy or the 17-year-old girl's privacy, for long after that sex act went away. And that was kind of how we differentiated why it could be that you could wind up in that situation. And so I think this bill kind of does the same thing. It draws a line, and we say, kids under 16, stay away from that stuff.
You have to be 16. I guess if you're old enough to have sex, you're probably old enough to look at a picture of someone doing that, whether or not we personally agree with that or not, you know, for our own families, our own, you know, friends. So that's one of those line drawing exercises that we're engaged in. It's always difficult, and I appreciate the thought.
The question, another question I have is, you mentioned HBO, and you know, if you at my home we have a cable system. I mean, not a cable system, but a satellite system, because we're not on a cable system anymore. So, you know, you watch the satellite system, and the Dish Network advertises XXX. All you got to do is have the right password, and so on and so on. Would those images violate this act if they were transmitted? I know that it has to be some knowingly, but would those images, if they were viewed by a person under 16, constitute a violation of the act? I mean, I've never watched one of them, so I guess I don't care to. I don't care to pay money for
it. Your point is well taken. It's out there, and I'd certainly put on the record that it's not my intention to prosecute HBO or anybody else. In fact, we got an email from a Microsoft lawyer who was concerned that Microsoft or some ISP, some internet service provider, could be prosecuted simply for having transmitted the stuff from one computer to another. And I think the knowingly, and that's one amendment I'm contemplating on this bill, is to put knowingly distributes in front of that verb, so we're clear about what the mental state is.
It's implied under the law that it would have to be knowingly.
So we implied, and that's what the drafter told me, and I came back and said, you know, I think the committee is going to want it explicit, and I think it's a good idea, because that's the idea. It's not the idea to shut down the adult entertainment industry or whatever that might be, but it's to stop the grooming of children.
Not that I would particularly object to that, but you know, everybody has their own taste.
But the idea is to aim at people that are grooming children.
I think I can understand that intent. I just want to know what. I guess the purpose for trying to look at that would be to try to find a purpose to make sure that there's somehow or another this law was not struck down within its intent, if we could correct it before it got on the books.
I don't know. I don't think it defines electronic or a device capable of electronic communication.
Seems to me that could be my TV set, because I can two-way communicate on my cable system now. I mean, on my satellite system, and I can communicate two-way on cable systems. And I'm just wondering if that definition might include that.
It's a good question, and it's something I'd be happy to look into with my law enforcement friends.
And there's no doubt that we want to try to do what we can to protect innocent children from this kind of material. So, Ms. Carpenter, any other comments?
The only one that I mentioned to the sponsor over the break is that this would need to be specifically added to sex offender registration statutes, because it does not fall within one of the span sites in that law.
I got you. So we would probably need to add that to the bill.
Expand the definition of what's caught under sex crimes. You bet.
So we will allow the sponsor and the Department of Law to collaboratively work on this and answer some of those questions, and it's a good bill with that. That will hold this bill over. Now, we have a session at what time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. So, Senator French, without your objection, why don't we hold 7-117 until our next session, and we'll carry these bills over under bills previously heard. And thank you very much for being with us this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. And with that, the committee is adjourned. Thank you.